Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Chenjerai Kumanyika. He's an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University. Hi, Chenjerai.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thanks for joining us. Senior Obama administration officials have just admitted that a CIA drone strike in Pakistan killed two foreign hostages being held by Al-Qaeda. The strike in January targeted an Al-Qaeda group, but two aid workers, an American named Warren Weinstein and an Italian named Giovanni Loporto, were being held captive at the compound and died as a result of the strike, as concluded in an official White House review of the incident. The Wall Street Journal describes it as, quote, the first known instance in which the U.S. has accidentally killed a hostage in a drone strike. While there has been no official curtailment of drone strikes as a result, the website called the Long War Journal has found that the rate of U.S. strikes on Pakistan this year is dramatically lower than the same time last year. Chenjerai, could this incident prompt President Obama to reduce reliance on this internationally condemned method of war?
Well, what we're seeing here is a gesture towards transparency, at least. Mm-hmm. But the Obama administration has continually defended its position on drone strikes. Tragedies like this highlight why that kind of logic doesn't really work. At least 2,400 people have now been killed by U.S. drone strikes. 314 have been civilians since Obama took office. And so what we're actually seeing is Obama ramping up counterterrorism campaigns using drones and manned aircraft in the Middle East and North Africa, where Al-Qaeda and ISIS are growing. So, we need to put pressure for them to reduce these kind of strikes, but I'm not sure that we are moving in that direction.
A farmer publicly hanged himself at a rally in the Indian capital of New Delhi yesterday as hundreds of people protesting looked on in horror. A suicide note that was reportedly found in his pocket revealed the farmer's name as Gajender Singh, although the note has not yet been verified. He had apparently traveled to New Delhi from his home state of Rajasthan as a result of losing his crop because of unseasonable weather. Members of India's nascent Aam Aadmi Party, or Party of the Common Man, had gathered in the capital when the farmer, who was up in a tree, hung himself using his scarf. Prime Minister Narendra Modi tweeted, quote, "At no point must the hard-working farmer think he is alone. We are all together in creating a better tomorrow for the farmers of India." But Modi has championed the Land Acquisition Act, which protesters were targeting. That act makes it easier for the government and corporations to buy land from farmers. India has long suffered epidemic levels of farmers' suicides. Chenjerai, should this man's suicide be seen in this political context of corporate profiteering and even climate change rather than an isolated incident?
Absolutely. The growth of the Indian economy, including land reforms that are understood to be predatory, has really hit rural populations of India the hardest. And then in the circumstance of climate change, we see this being exacerbated. So these kinds of land acquisition laws, critics of them feel that they would actually harm the farmers by making it easier for businesses and the government to buy their land. So this response is also not isolated. We have 600 farmers killed themselves in the Maharashtra state in the last 3 months alone. In 2014, there were almost 2,000 farmer suicides. So we have to find a way to provide livelihoods, not only to labor already attached to agriculture, but also to the increasingly urban displaced populations who are moving to rural areas.
And Maharashtra happens to be my home state of India, so this certainly is a story that cuts close to home. Finally, here in the United States, the family of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, will file a civil lawsuit against former officer Darren Wilson. Brown's parents, Michael Brown Sr. and Leslie McSpadden, are speaking at a news conference this morning to reveal the details of their suit. A grand jury last year declined to charge Wilson for the shooting death of their teenage son. A civil suit requires a lower burden of proof than a criminal trial. Meanwhile, in Baltimore, Maryland, where protests continue over the death of Freddie Gray, who sustained fatal injuries after his arrest, media are reporting that one of the officers had a history of violence. Lieutenant Brian Rice, who had chased Gray, had once had a temporary restraining order against him after he threatened to kill a man, revealing a, quote, pattern of intimidation and violence. Well, Chenjerai, victims of police brutality are often judged quite harshly in the ensuing media coverage for things like past arrests or drug use, etc. But we should be actually examining the pasts of the killers, shouldn't we?
I think we should. As families try to get information about how their loved ones have died and accountability, they have to watch as police departments and the media tear down the character of their loved ones with posthumous and speculative attacks. Meanwhile, as Radley Bacow has written, you know, a misbehaving police officer can, you know, rack up huge amounts of citizen complaints that should have thrown up red flags. Violent and abusive cops continue to benefit from job protections that require them to actually rape or kill before they can even be considered to be fired, and even then it's difficult. So now in the case of, you know, in Baltimore is a particularly egregious case, although we're seeing this national pattern. This has happened before in the case of Tyrone West, where we see, officers Nicholas Chapman and Bernard Ruiz with really questionable histories. And so the Department of Justice is learning that. And, you know, I mean, we'll have to see what happens from this.
I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us today, Chenjerai.
Thank you.
Chenjerai Komanyika is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University and our daily Newsflash guest expert on Thursdays. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.